The very fact that Jesus was present at that marriage feast at Cana ought to have settled the whole issue of the goodness of sex a long time ago. There are only two possibilities. Either Jesus made a terrible mistake by attending the wedding feast at Cana, or else all of those people who still think that sexuality is evil or somehow inappropriate have made a terrible mistake. It should be clear from the very beginning what it does mean when we say that marriage is a sacrament. When we say that the sexual union between a woman and a man is sacramental, precisely because it does reveal something about God. We know that by definition, a sacrament is a revelation, a manifestation. And at the marriage feast of Cana, Jesus was not the only manifestation, a revelation of the presence of God there. His presence there was in part to validate, to confirm a much more widespread revelation of God's presence. The sexual love between a woman and a man at that wedding. That sex is sacramental not because the church has a marriage ceremony, but because sex is always a revelation of God's love for his people. The sacredness of sex comes not because there's a blessing from the church over the marriage union. The sacredness of sex comes from the very nature of the union itself, a union that is passionate and life-giving, permanent, or at least with a propensity toward permanence, and enormously powerful in the demands it makes and the rewards that it does offer. Now, such is the nature of the love between a woman and a man for each other, and that also is the same nature of God's love for us. Save that God's love for us is more passionate and more demanding than the sex between a man and a woman who deeply love each other. In fact, the very height of sexual arousal is not something that is wilder or more passionate than the affection that God has for us, but it is less so. It only gives us a faint hint of the intensity, the ecstasy of God's desire to possess us. In fact, if it were not for the sexual attraction between a woman and a man, and the propensity for permanence because of that attraction, there probably would not be such a thing as marriage at all. The fundamental difference between human sexuality and the sexuality of other primates is simply that human sexuality is more intense. It's more pervasive. Precisely because of that, it binds the man and woman together for a sustained period of time so that they can rear a family, rear their children. Marriage, as marriage, could only occur for intelligent primates who have an extraordinarily high level of sexual energy. And of course, the human species developed this kind of sexual energy as a very necessary precondition for the emergence of marriage and family life, so that human beings would marry and take care of their children. It means that in strict technical and biological and genetic terms, marriage really adds a third bond for human beings that is rarely found among mammals. With human beings, in addition to the bonds between the mother and the child, and between the man and the woman, there is another bond that is possible precisely because of the attraction between the father and the mother, and vice versa. Thus, when Jesus went to Cana, to the marriage feast, he went there not only to validate marriage, but also to validate human sexuality, which is essential to marriage. It means that the more intense there is love between a man and a woman, the better reflection it is of God's love for people. It means that if we understand Christianity correctly, there is never to be any discouragement of intense emotion between a wife and husband, but rather is to be encouragement of it. The more powerful their love for each other, physical as well as psychological, the better able they are to reflect for their children and for everyone else the kind of love that God has for people. As a matter of fact, one of the most important contributions that sexuality makes to family life is the capacity that it has to renew affection between mother and father, husband and wife. Every time that it is worn away by routine and tension, whenever there's discouragement and conflict, frustration, it is able then to draw the two people back together after they have drifted away from one another. In that respect also, sex reflects God's love for us. Sexual love and God's love are renewing, revivifying, inviting us to start all over again. The wedding feast at Cana, then, and the presence of Jesus there, means that there is really no room in Christian or Catholic Christianity for prudery. It is certainly true that sex is able to get people into a lot of trouble, but it is also true that a prudish rejection of sex gets people into even more trouble, because prudery will always destroy the capacity that people have or should have to experience the intensity of God's feeling for us and our capacity as human beings to be renewed and revivified. So often in the concerns that the church has had about the evils of sexual misconduct. There are occasions when it seems that Christianity has utterly forgotten about the marriage feast of Cana, where Jesus worked a miracle so that the wedding night with the bride and the groom would not be spoiled by a social disgrace of running out of wine.
Let us pray. Encouraged by the Word of God, let us offer our prayer to God in confidence that the good news of Cana may continue to inspire believers in Jesus the Christ. We pray to the Lord that our church may always be faithful to its mandate to champion the cause of the poor. We pray to the Lord that our government and church leaders may serve us with integrity and fidelity. We pray to the Lord. For all those who are ill, and especially those preparing for death, we pray to the Lord. That our gathering for this celebration may help us recognize the Lord in one another. We pray to the Lord. For all the intentions listed in the parish book of prayer intentions, and for our own personal intentions today. Lord, hear our prayer.
Lord God, source of all love and compassion, as we recall your saving deeds on our behalf, we ask that you keep us faithful to the covenant of friendship that you have given us in Jesus Christ. This we ask through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Our offertory hymn is number 292, Peace.
Peace I leave with you, my friends. Peace the world cannot give. Peace I leave with you, my friends, so that your joy be ever full. The Father's love I came to give, to be the hope of